James chapter 4, let's read verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. This is a word to believers. He's writing, remember, to the brethren. He says it over and over again, my beloved brethren. And it is a word of reproof and rebuke. For how often do we all say that we're going to do something without saying, the Lord will? All of us are guilty of this. All of us. And this is a word of correction, instruction, to tell us that we ought to say about everything before we do anything. We ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. He says our life is such a vapor. And may the Lord make these sayings sink down deep into our ears and write them on our hearts. And let this be natural, but supernatural speech that comes out of our mouth about everything. Let this be our constant language, if the Lord will. If the Lord will. Lord willing. And it's something we need to work on too, isn't it? Verse 17, so he says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's especially sinful to us, to the brethren who know better. We claim to know and believe God and His Word, and so it's especially wrong for us to do it. That's what he's saying there. And you know what a clear denunciation of man's so-called free will this is? What a denunciation. What a conclusive denunciation of man's free will. He said, look at verse 14. He says, verse 15, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. We don't know if we're going to take our next breath. That's what he said. What is your life but a vapor? And surely he's even talking about a breath. We're just one breath away from leaving this place. It's just a vapor. One breath. And what a denunciation this is of all talk of free will. So, verse 13. He says, go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell. James 4, 13. Continue there and buy and sell and get gain. Now, God's Word, I love the Word of the Lord. I know you do too. It speaks very clearly, very plainly. Proverbs 8 said there's nothing forward, nothing perverse, nothing hidden. It's all plain. He doesn't mince words. He speaks in a way we can clearly understand, up front, straightforward. And we need that, don't we? We need that. He speaks as a creator to the creature. Like our Lord said to Job and his friends after they did all that talking. He said, where were you when I made this world? Remember that? Who is this? Go to now. That's what he's saying. Will you listen up now? You that say that. I like that language, don't you? Like a judge. Let's see now. What is it you're saying? Or like a father to a son. I heard what you said. And what do you got to say for yourself? And yet the truth spoken by our Lord to His people is always in love. Let the righteous smite me, He'll be a kindness. Oh, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. But He says it very plainly and in a way we can understand. Yet He says it in love and mercy. You that say, go to now. Go to now. Just hold on now. You that say, that's what He's saying. Let's just hold on now. You that say, tomorrow we're going to do this or do that. And every one of us are guilty of that. And now, the first thing, not only is He correcting us and rebuking us about not saying the Lord will, about everything. The Lord will, we will do this or do that. But He's rebuking covetousness. He said, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You see that? The next chapter is all about riches. The very next chapter, He deals with riches and just warns and warns and warns of it. And talks about the rich weeping and howling for the misery that's come on them. That the gold and silver, the canker of it, the rust of it is going to rise up in the judgment. He just warns and warns and warns. And the Scriptures, all through Scriptures, warns and warns and warns of the deceitfulness of riches and how that many have drowned in it. Most people do. And it's a great danger to believers. More people fall away from prosperity than anything. Children of Israel in the wilderness. And so he condemns this. He rebukes us about saying we're going to get gain. What did Paul say about the things of this world? Gain? No, he says it's loss. It's loss. Everyone wants to be rich. And if we're honest, we'll all say, if we just had all the money that we could have, all the money we needed and some more, that we'd just be content and happy. We all think that. It's honest, don't we? It's foolish. It's foolish. So this verse is condemning any talk of I will, but especially of covetousness. Look at Luke chapter 12 with me, the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, covetousness. Let you go to now, you say we're going to get gain. Luke chapter 12, you know these passages, but we need to hear them over and over again. The ground of a certain rich man, verse 16, Luke 12, 16. He spoke a parable unto them. This was to his disciples. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? But now, he says, he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. But down in verse 31, seek the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you. There's one thing needful that we need to be rich in, which we're all very poor in. Grace and the knowledge of our Lord. We're all very poor there. We need to be rich in that. Rich in faith. Fear not, little flock. Oh, I love this verse. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have. Give alms. Let's support the gospel and those in need. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, treasure in heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's just so, isn't it? The more we have, the more we worry about it. The more we think about it, the more we think about getting. Sad. Luke 17, go over there. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 20. Verse 26. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. And there's nothing wrong with these things, are there? Nothing wrong with these things. The Lord ordained marrying and eating and drinking. He did, but it is when you don't give God a thought about it, when you don't say the Lord will, you don't seek His will in these things, who to marry and whether you eat or drink, you're supposed to do it for the glory of God. Verse 27, they did eat and drink, no thought to God. They married wives, they were given in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, Sodom, where we live now, Sodom. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold. We will buy and sell. They planted, they built it. Nothing wrong with these things, is it? But it is wicked and evil when you give no thought to God. When you think of these things more than Him and consumed with and lust after these things and don't, your desire is not set on God, that makes it idolatry. In the same day, verse 29, Lot went out of Sodom and the Lord had to pull him out, didn't it? Being merciful to him. It did rain. It rained fire and brimstone from heaven, destroyed them all. Even so, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So he that's on the housetop, he said, is stuff. Stuff. That's all it is. Got your stuff in the house? Forsake it. Forsake that stuff. Hold Luke's gospel there. It says that they bought and sold. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, the Lord doesn't condemn making plans. The Lord doesn't condemn making plans. He said, but you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall. It's an industrious person. It's a wise person that does not sit down and count the cost and make some plans. But what you say is, should say is, the Lord will. And seek the Lord's will first about those plans. Lord, should I do this? Should I go there? Should I buy this? Oh, yes. There's nothing insignificant. Little things often give us the greatest trouble. And we ought to pray about. Paul said to the Philippians, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known. Lord, would you have me do this? Would you have me go there? Would you have me buy this? Huh? And Lord, if you do, allow it. Forgive it. Don't let it consume me. Don't let it make me. I love the proverb that says, the wise man said, give me neither riches nor poverty. One thing have I required of thee, he said, I'll ask of thee. Withhold it not. Give me neither riches nor poverty. Don't give me riches, I'll forget you. Don't give me poverty, lest I steal and deny you. So, we ought to say, if the Lord will, concerning everything. But he says, don't seek to get gain. Material gain is usually great loss. What shall it profit? Luke 18. Look at Luke chapter 18. Our Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Our Lord talked about rich people in the world. He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven? He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. How many really, really rich people worship the Lord? It's just very rare. Very rare. And usually the Lord makes someone rich before He reveals Himself to them. I've known a few, haven't we? We've known a few millionaires. And now you got to be a billionaire, don't you? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Never enough, is it? But I've known a few, very rich, and the Lord saved them. And when He saves a man's heart and soul, He saves their wallet too. They began to be very generous, liberal. Luke 18, verse 22. He said to this rich young ruler that, he said, "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Now the Lord, this is God speaking here, and He came to earth, and He didn't have a place to lay His head. He didn't have a house. He didn't know, He knew where His next meal was coming from. Started to say He didn't know where His next meal was coming. Oh yes, He did. But the point is, He didn't have a kitchen and didn't have a can in the cupboard. Not a loaf of bread in a sack. And never missed one meal. And didn't lack anything, perfectly content and blessed. But this rich young fellow, he said, he said to this fellow, "Sell everything you have. You have treasure and come and follow me." He heard this, verse 23, very sorrowful because he was very rich. And that's when the Lord said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." So, Paul wrote this, and Paul didn't have anything either. He didn't have anything. He depended on the Lord and God's people for his every meal, and he was traveling around, and the Lord met his every need. But Paul said this, he said, "I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." But it's just bull. It's just done. "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain of the resurrection of the dead." Now here's riches. Oh Lord, give me that attitude. Give me that heart. Give me that desire. How often the Lord warns and reproves and rebukes in this matter of riches. It's a great revealer of the heart. It really is. Our Lord said, "Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is." And those who sow to the flesh, they'll reap flesh. But those that sow to the Spirit, So go back to our text. So that's the lesson here for believers. Not only if the Lord will, but gain? What is gain? Lose everything for Christ is great gain. Here's the fact of the matter. You know what the fact of the matter is? We are going to lose everything. Everything. Everything and everyone. You know, there's a reason why the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Look at verse 14. He says, "You know not what shall be on tomorrow." You don't know what's coming. You say, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get gain. I'm going to build up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Oh, brethren, what tomorrow may hold. The book of Job, one morning he got up and his whole world changed. It's never the same. He lost everything. Everything. There's a reason why that book is the oldest book in the Bible, a long book, isn't it? Teaches us old, vital truth. And the whole lesson is, boy, if the root of the matter is not in you, if you don't know your Redeemer, you lose everything. If you know Him, you lose nothing. Because Job said, in all this, you know the story of Job, he lost everything and everyone. It's seven sons and daughters. He loved dearly. He lost them all. He lost his health. He lost everything that a person considers dear in this life that we all love and hold dear and nurture and all that. He lost it all at one time to show us that faith is real. God gives a true, one of His people, true saving faith. In all of this, it says Job did not sin with his lips or charge God foolishly. In fact, he blessed with tears running down his face. He blessed the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord gave it all to me. He said, I came into this world naked, didn't have a thing. And he said, I'm going to leave this world naked. And the Lord gave me all this. He loaned it to me. It's just borrowed stuff. And He loaned it to me. And I sure enjoyed it when He gave it to me. But He took it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that's real faith. That's real. It's real grace. Our Lord said, as thy days shall thy strength be. And that day for Job was the worst day of his life. That is, humanly speaking. But it revealed faith that he didn't know he had. It revealed the truth that God's grace is real. God's grace is sufficient. He promised strength for the day. He revealed to us that true faith is going to be tried. It's going to be tried. And it's generally in the things that we hold dearest. We don't know what tomorrow holds, do we, Margaret? A dear brother that you all know, he just found out that he has bladder cancer. At the exact same time, he found out his daughter, his oldest daughter, has breast cancer. At the exact same time, he found out that his other daughter, granddaughter expecting the first child as a child with club feet. All at the same time. We don't know what tomorrow may bring them. But if you know who holds tomorrow, and you trust it, Job said, though he... Oh, God, give me this faith. Though He slay me, I'll trust Him. I don't feel like I have that right now, do I? But we'll find out. We're going to find out, aren't we? We're going to find out. I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but... Oh, bless God, if we know who holds tomorrow and cast all your care upon Him. Chapter 5, verse 11 says, we count them happy which endure. Remember how he started this whole book? Oh, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, trials, trial of your faith, work of patience. It's a good thing. Trials are tough, painful, sorrowful, grievous. No trial, Hebrews says, is pleasant, but whom the Lord loves, He sends it, and it works for us a good thing, an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Reveals faith. Life is a vapor, isn't it? It's just a vapor, like the fog in the morning, early morning fog. It's here for a little time, vanishes away. We're watching these kids grow up. They're born, and no sooner born till they're teenagers, and then they're young adults and parents, and we're old, and our dear old dad and mom, and they're gone, and we become them, and man, it's just bam, bam, bam. And how often does the Scriptures tell us this? Just over and over again. Over and over again. What is life? Is vanity. Life is a vapor. Life is short. Redeem the time. Your redemption draweth nigh. Look up. Oh, that they were wise and they would consider their latter end. This is the theme of Scripture to God's people, isn't it? Don't observe lying vanities. All of this is just vanity. Everything's vanity. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Verse 15, for that, you ought to say, in consideration of that fact, that life is a vapor, for that, in consideration of that, for that, that you don't know what tomorrow holds, for that, that everything is in God's will, it might be His will if your life, that your life ends tomorrow. For that, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, we'll breathe our next breath, and maybe do this, or maybe do that. He said in verse 16, your rejoicing and your boasting is evil. All such rejoicing is evil. Oh my, all of man's boasting of free will is just the most evil thing there is. It's a denial, isn't it, of God's will. This started with Satan in the garden. Didn't it? Well, it actually started with Satan before the world began. In Isaiah 14, Satan said, I will exalt my throne to the stars. Didn't it? Satan said, I will. And he took a third of the heavenly host with it. I will. And God said, you will. Oh, no, there's only one person that can say, I will. And that's God. And Satan said that. And that's the lie he's been feeding mankind from the garden. He said to Adam and Eve, you will be as gods. Who is he to withhold from you what you will? You have a will, exercise it. You have your free will. Don't let anybody tell you you don't. Huh, Adam liked that. Eve liked that. And man likes that. The big problem is, it ain't so. It's not so. James said, the God, well, Paul, Scripture's right, the God in whose hand, Daniel, the God in whose hands our breath is, thou hast not glorified to say, if you will, I'll breathe, let alone do something tomorrow. If you will, I'll live. Man's rejoicing, boasting of his free will is not only foolish, but he calls it here evil. It's evil. It's a rejection of God's sovereignty, the will of God. Our Lord tells His people, you pray this way, thy will be done. Thy will be done. It's evil. Man's rejoicing. Defying God. Man defying God. Taunting God. Tempting God. Isn't it? He's tempting God and taunting God. Say, here's what I'm going to do. And man's getting more and more and more and more brazen and rebellious in what he's doing, you know. What he's saying. Declare their sin like Sodom. And he that sits in the heavens laughs. He's angry, but he's laughing. It's like ants and worms declaring what they're going to do. My, my. But now, for us, we know better. We know to do good. It's a good thing to say, I will. It gives God the glory, doesn't it? It's a good thing to seek His will, seek His faith. Makes us think right. Think of things the way we should think. Think on things above. And we know better, don't we? We ought to say, Lord willing, I'll do this or do that. Or better yet, like the leper said, Lord, if you will. If you will. You can. If you will. All right.